Local Talk is the signature local interview program on KHOI that explores people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. It celebrates the creativity, diversity, and civic spirit of our community. This interview aired on Local Talk.
Our next guest, who will be talking with us about solar energy, may be better known to most of our listeners for something other than alternative energy. In the studio with us, we'll have Don Kalm, director of the Ames Electric Department, who is better known to community theater fans for his roles in actors' productions than in managing our power sources in Ames. And on the phone, we have Tim Dwight. Yes, the Tim Dwight, former Iowa Hawkeye All-American and NFL player, who became a leader in Integrated Power Corporation, a Novato, California company, in 2008, where he has been an important player in a challenging and fast-growing industry.
Now, with Governor Jerry Brown of California just signing a bill pledging California to produce 100% of its energy from non-carbon sources by 2045, we're glad to have your perspective, Tim, as a Californian. Well, we're going to talk with Tim Dwight, and he's dear to my heart because I'm a Hawkeye fan here in Cyclone Country, and I watched Tim's career unfold at Kinnick Stadium, and he's one of the fastest people on earth. And so Tim not only is a great player and played in the NFL, but also he is a forerunner of what's to come in the solar industry and is one of the people really out there trying to make that happen. And it sounds like California is the place to do it because of that legislation signed by Jerry Brown. And so it's very timely to talk with Tim, who actually is involved in California and lives in Iowa and California.
This is particularly important to us right now because Ames is trying to get into solar. Citywide, we have a solar farm, and you will occasionally see around town some yard signs that say smart solar. And I think few people know about this because they're not getting the buy-in that they need to get it started.
Well, I don't think it's visible yet, right?
No, and that's why Don Kalm is coming in.
I'm the director of electric services here for the city of Ames, and we have two different ways of people bringing in solar into the community. Right now we have about 135 customers that have already installed solar on their own home or business. So As a customer of Ames, you can install it on your own home or business, add that on. We offer rebates, and we offer a net metering incentive for those people that want to install it and own it themselves. There are a lot of people, though, that rent their homes. They don't own, or maybe their home is facing the wrong direction, or it just isn't conducive for solar. So we're in the process right now of starting to contract for a community solar project. We've got about 13 acres down by the airport that's city-owned property. This is a city project where a person can buy half a panel, two panels, 10 panels, whatever, install it with us, and it's going to be about 11,000 panels when we're done, and you'd own a piece of the output that comes out of that community solar farm. We plan on building that probably next spring and have it in service by next summer.
That's fantastic. We're talking with Don Kalm, director of the Ames Electric Department, and you've done a lot of community theater, too, I hear, huh, Don?
Yeah, I've done a little bit of that, too.
What's your favorite part you've played?
Oh, man. Well, the last show we did was, if people remember the movie 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I played Franklin Hart Jr., the mean old boss.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You probably still have scars from that performance.
I do, yes.
Well, it's nice to know that you're plugged into things other than your vocation, because I'm a theater guy myself, so I really respect your willingness to do that. Now, the unique thing here is that these folks can buy a panel. Is that right?
They're actually, the way this thing works, and there's some tax consequences and things like that, the panels initially are owned by the company that installs them, maintains them. You're basically buying the output of that panel.
Okay, so it's clear. It's important to know that differentiation.
Yes, yep. And then they maintain the panel. And any kind of panel that goes bad, they replace it. It's all part of the contract. But you get the energy out of the panel for the next 20 years.
That's terrific. And, you know, I just hope this becomes pretty visible so more and more people know they have this option. And it's not something that you have to put on your house. You can buy into this without the construction on your rooftop. Is that right?
Absolutely, yep. You don't have to put anything at your site. We install it at the central location, and then we as a city deliver that power basically to your home.
Well, actually, one of the reasons that we're doing this program now is because in the aftermath of the Rise for the Climate last weekend, as you may know, Jerry Brown, the governor of California, signed a bill to have the state go carbon-free by 2045. And I thought, would something like that be feasible for Ames under any circumstances?
Boy, would it be feasible under any circumstances? Of course. Everything is feasible under
some circumstances. Susan, I think we might have Tim on the line right now. Is that right, Aladdin?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
There you are.
Yes.
All right.
Well, now, Tim, tell us about your involvement.
Well, first, I'd like to congratulate Ames on being kind of one of the only utilities in the state to kind of adopt solar in a way. I met Dom years and years ago when I first got into this industry, and you had a small little rebate for energy efficiency that actually you moved solar into. And I think Alliant and maybe one other utilities had actually a rebate like that in the state. So it was exciting to see, a municipal utility kind of start moving in the direction of solar, because the industry is obviously growing and people are starting to take more awareness of it. But as well as the new, opportunity to provide solar for a lot of members, or a lot of their customers, to buy into a big ground mount. That's pretty exciting stuff to see that in Iowa. 11,000 panels, Dom, that's a lot. That's a big solar system, which is pretty exciting to see that. So I'm sure people are pretty fired up there in Ames to be a part of that. I mean, I'd be one of the first in line to be buying my modules, being part of a whole new, energy generation, as well as, investing in a technology that has a nice return on your money.
Well, now, Tim, what's your role? You're involved with the industry. Describe how you got involved and exactly what's happening for you.
I just had an opportunity to invest in a small startup out of California. We do a lot of the engineering side of the industry, and I thought that, solar panels were kind of like a combine. It yields energy. So in Iowa, we yield corn, we yield soybeans. So I figured I'd come back from California into the state and start looking around, see what solar was going on. And so I'd making my trips up to the Capitol back in 2009 to kind of start spreading the word that solar was coming. It was starting to grow in other parts of the world that, that wasn't really feasible. And now with the cost, going down and the technology scaling, it just made sense that Iowa farmers and Iowa businesses and Iowa residents should have solar. We're 16th in the country in solar radiation. I mean, I had a lot of afternoons in football and two-a-days out there in the sun in August, knowing that we've got plenty of sun in Iowa. It's just always been kind of the cost, as well as, certain policy measures that have changed and evolved over time to make it, more applicable and more attainable for people to go solar. So the state of Iowa is in a good location. It's in a good spot where we're at in solar. And it's been exciting to watch this industry grow since our tax credit got passed in 2012. It's really spurred a ton of growth. And a lot of these jobs are rural jobs, which means we're bringing jobs and people back to rural Iowa. It's exciting technology. It's a lot of IT-based as well. I mean, you've got connection. You've got monitoring on these systems. You're going to have a lot more flexibility with solar going forward with the energy industry. And it's pretty exciting for everybody to be involved in that.
Well, now, Tim, I'm glad you and Don already know each other. Are there going to be opportunities for you two guys to collaborate here?
Possibly. Tim is – go ahead, Tim.
No, you go first, Don.
When a guy that runs that fast says you go first, you better be running fast.
No, Tim brings a lot of experience in the solar industry with him. I remember meeting with him several times over at the utility. I think the industry is as much as it is established now, where you can go out and find a panel and install it, there is a lot of new technologies. There's new designs in solar panels that are coming out. There's some cadmium-based solar panels that are very interesting and exciting that are coming out that... We know that the panels that were probably put in 5 years ago are not as efficient as the ones today. And the more up-to-date, the more good products that can be brought in here that produce more and more energy, we can start meeting the goals of reducing our carbon footprint.
And you have a solar and wind mix, too,
for energy
in Iowa, because when you look out at the horizon, right, on the farm where I live, it's all red lights on the horizon, the big farm over by Colo.
Sure.
And the further north you go, the more frequently you encounter wind farms. I ran across something here called net metering. What's net metering, Don?
And Ames has this. What net metering is basically if you put a solar panel on your home or on your business, if it overproduces, that energy doesn't stay at the house. I mean, energy is used as it's produced. So with net metering, that excess flows onto the city's system, and it gets used up by somebody else. So net metering is a way that we can then reimburse the customer for that excess energy that they produced.
So what do you anticipate the percentage will be maybe a year from now when looking at the share of energy produced by solar in Ames? What do you think?
Well, right now, solar needs a big footprint, physically a big footprint to produce energy. We did a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation, and I thought at one time to meet the energy needs of Ames, I think we needed 4,000 acres of solar panels.
4,000 acres?
Something like that. It was that large, if not even a little bit larger. So solar itself isn't a large producer. Right now, we're just barely scratching the surface. Maybe a tenth of a percent of our energy is produced by solar today, whereas on a good windy month, wind is about 25% of our energy needs can be met by wind. When the community solar project goes in, we're anticipating that'll probably produce maybe 2%. So it's not a lot. And it's hard to look at it because you need so much land to do solar, and we don't want to take valuable crop land.
I just think that's tremendous. And, Tim, are you splitting your time between California and Iowa or what?
I am, yeah. You know, California is kind of the leader in solar. A lot of technologies are being deployed in those areas. So it's kind of ahead of the game. So it's important, I think, to look at all these different markets across the country to make sure that our policy here in Iowa is strong. It makes a lot of sense for everybody in this industry. You know, everybody needs to win. You got the utility, you got the customer, you got the environment, you got social impacts. I mean, all these things that, you know, energy production, energy generation, all these things affect, you have to kind of take in consideration. So you try to look in markets that are kind of out ahead and leading in front, and California's one of them. Plus, they've got, you know, a nice little ocean out there you can surf on that, you know, every other day I enjoy. So, you know, yeah, I definitely come back here quite a bit, though, and do a lot, especially during the summer times when they're really building a lot of solar out. Usually seems like it when the farmer sees that corn about 4 or 5 feet in the air, then they start spending money. And cause most of our industry right now is very ag, because some of the expensive costs are out there on the farms because of, you know, less customers and energy they have to get out there. So we do a lot of ag. I've learned a lot about farming over the last about 8 or 9 years in this industry, not just corn and soybeans, but hogs and turkeys and all these things. How our industry here in Iowa is incredible in our agriculture. It's absolutely phenomenal, and it's great to learn about this stuff as well as see how solar can now come in and help help our Iowan fix energy costs, clean our air, you know, secure our grid. I mean, solar does a lot of things that we're starting to really realize when you start deploying these types of assets, you know, inside your grid structure, and how that can affect in so many positive ways. It takes everybody to do it.
Well,
like,
Tim, hey,
like Don was saying, like 4,000 acres is a lot of solar panels. So I'm sure, you know, that's where we look at rooftop solar, where, you know, most of your buildings are already disturbed that ground. So we put a lot of our solar on top of our rooftops. So I'm sure Ames is bigger than 4,000 acres. There's a lot of rooftops we can put
a lot of
solar
on, Don. Hey, this has been fun. Tim Dwight from the solar industry, and we have Don Kahn from Ames Electric Department. I could go on for another half hour. It's all very exciting. The future is here, Don. And, Tim, thank you for being our guest today.
You're most welcome.
Hey, thank you. That was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
You can hear more interviews like this on Local Talk Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 a.m., noon, and 7 p.m. on 89.1 KHOI Community Radio. You can support Community Radio through the Donate button at khoifm.org.